Manuscript Releases, Volume 18, Numbers 1301 to 1359. MR, Number 1335, God to Control His Heritage. Written August 1, 1895, at Granville, New South Wales, Australia. I am unable to put away the anxious thoughts that fill my mind in regard to the work of God. I feel that to weep would be a relief. I am sure that a work must be done for those in positions of trust in Battle Creek. They will never be safe, trustworthy men until they are laborers together with God. The question often comes to me, has God chosen these men to devise and plan and execute in behalf of His work when they have not a vital connection with Him? The men God chooses to bear burdens in His work are to sit at the feet of Jesus and learn from Him how to repress their unchristlike desires and inclinations. God has not given men power to interfere between a human being and his conscience. The question of religious liberty needs to be clearly comprehended by our people in more ways than one. With outstretched arms, men are seeking to steady the ark, and the anger of the Lord is kindled against them because they think that their position entitles them to say what the Lord's servants shall do and what they shall not do. They think themselves competent to decide what shall be brought before God's people and what shall be repressed. The Lord inquires of them, "Who has required this at your hand? Who has given you the burden of being conscience for my people? By what spirit are you guided and controlled when you seek to restrict their liberty? I have not chosen you as I chose Moses, as men through whom I can communicate divine instruction to my people. I have not placed the lines of control in your hands. The responsibility that rested on Moses of voicing the words of God to the people has never been delegated to you. Moses was specially chosen to be the visible leader of the children of Israel. Through long years of discipline, he learned the lesson of humility, and he became a man whom God could teach and guide. He endured as seeing him who is invisible. God trusted him, a daily learner in the school of Christ, with the leadership of the host of Israel. God talked with him face to face as a man talketh with his friend. He was the meekest of all men. He did not seek to control the Holy Spirit, but was himself controlled by the Spirit. Do the men who are today swaying and molding the work of God give evidence that they are swayed and molded by divine power? Do they give evidence that they have received the Spirit of God? Is truth enthroned in their hearts? Is Christ revealed in their daily experience? Is the law of kindness on their lips? There is an evil, a great evil, that is to be rooted out of all council meetings and board meetings. We are living in perilous times. Men are striving for the control over their fellow men. God is displeased and dishonored. Man is led to fear man rather than God. My brethren, has not the word of God been dismissed from your councils? Have not the words of men had too much power? Has not religious freedom been excluded from your assemblies? Have you not censured your fellow men when you yourselves were standing under the censure of God? Take your hands off your brethren. They are not to be under the control of any man or set of men. Men are not to league together to bind their fellow men by rules and restrictions. God knows the characters of men. He sees their weakness, and He has not put into their hands the power that belongs alone to Him. He has not given them the right to say what their fellow men shall do and what they shall not do. It is the greatest presumption for man to assume the right of dictation and control over his fellow men. God is the owner of man. To his Maker, man stands or falls. To God he is responsible, not to his fellow men. Every man has an individuality of his own, which is not to be submerged in any other human being. The life of each one must be hid with Christ in God. Men are under God's control, not under the control of weak, erring human beings. They are to be left free to be guided by the Holy Spirit, not by the fitful, perverse spirit of unsanctified men. The encroachments made by men on the liberty of their fellow men are condemned by God. These encroachments, which are not seen in their true bearing, are inspired by the enemy of God to cut off the opportunity for God to work on minds by His Spirit. Those who do not know God, who refuse to hear His voice or to be ruled by Him, will stand with cord in hand, ready to bind the Lord's workers and trammel them in their efforts.
Let God be recognized as the supreme ruler of His heritage. Let every man place himself under His control. Let Him be recognized in all our assemblies, in every business meeting, every council, every committee. He sees all that is done and hears all that is said. Thou, God, seest me. Let these words be kept ever in mind. They will be a safeguard against imprudent, passionate speeches, against all desire to domineer. They will repress words that should never be spoken, and resolutions that men have no right to make, resolutions that restrict the liberty of human beings. Let God place restrictions on His workers, but let man beware how he places restrictions where God places none. If men are permitted to control the judgment of their fellow men, oppression will result. The cause of God will be bound about. Scheme after scheme that is unjust will be planned. Let not men take on themselves the responsibility of controlling the words and actions of their fellow men. Let our institutions give place to the working of God on human minds. Let God have opportunity to control. Should the principle obtain sway that in speaking and writing men are to be under the control of human beings, deadly evils would be the result. God calls upon men to act under His supervision, to accept His standard, to take all their decisions and plans to Him for approval. His holiness, His justice, is to keep them from unprincipled actions. Cease ye from man, whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? Isaiah 2, verse 22. Psalm 146, verse 3-10, quoted. Ellen G. White Estate, Washington, D.C., December 17, 1987. Entire Ms.